The Walking Dead Talk Through Episode 78. Still Gotta Mean Something. Review.
Welcome to The Walking Dead Talk Through, a fan podcast dedicated to The Walking Dead on AMC. Join us each week as we discuss the characters, story developments, and theories of The Walking Dead. Send in your thoughts about each episode by calling 304-837-2278 or by visiting our feedback page at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. And now, here's your hosts.
Hey, survivors, and welcome to another fine episode of The Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Brian.
And I am Mark.
And tonight, we'll be discussing Season 8, Episode 14, which is titled, Still Gotta Mean Something. And before we get started discussing this week's episode, we have a little bit to discuss regarding Season 8, Episode 13, Do Not Send Us Any Ashtrays, Mark.
Don't lick any ashtrays.
Yeah, don't lick any ashtrays. Do not send us astray. So let's play a little bit of Simon.
We can talk about
We're
it.
Done talking. Time to listen.
Well, the very first thing I'm going to say is, upon further reflection, I think my 9.8 was too high, so I am lowering it a little bit to a 9.6. I just wanted to get that off out of the open. One thing we wanted to cover was some feedback that came, well, sort of feedback that isn't feedback, from Lara, and that has to do with, let's see, she says, was going to leave feedback for last week's episode, but just listened to Watching Dead, and I know you're not going to like this, Brian, but apart from their ravenous hate watching, I agreed with all the bad points they brought up. I keep really wanting to enjoy these episodes of The Walking Dead, but in honesty, it's becoming a chore to watch, and mostly I'm watching because I love the actors and characters on this show and want to support them, but the writing is becoming so lazy, it's getting very hard to overlook. But I still enjoy listening to the podcast, so there is still an upside. And to that end, I think it's okay to be negative about the episodes. What I don't like is when certain podcasts will kind of like criticize the viewers for liking it and kind of having an attitude on it. And you can take that however you want to. I'm not going to use any podcast by name, although one was just mentioned in the feedback. But I think you can criticize the content of the episode without criticizing the people that enjoy it. So that's all I wanted to say about that. But going a little further on it, just I did also want to just clarify again what some of what we talked about last week, which is basically that I think that what they really needed in that episode was someone saying, well, this never happened before, which kind of happened in this episode, by the way. And that had to do with something Daryl said, how sometimes nothing happens or something like that. He was referring to as an alternate theory as far as Tara getting infected. The reason why wasn't because Dwight didn't hit her with a tainted arrow, but the tainted arrow didn't infect her. You know, it's kind of like,
yeah,
it's like getting exposure to HIV. Just exposure to it doesn't mean that you're going to get infected. And that's, I think that's kind of what they were inferring. But what I would like to see in the writing is a better job at kind of tying knots, you know, like, don't let something dangle that could be easily closed. And to me, just a line or something like that fixes the problem. And I don't see that enough in this show. And I'm not going to single out this show because there's a lot of shows that I can say the same thing about. But that's kind of where we left off last week. And it came up in the Facebook group a few times last week. So there was an article that I posted there from Forbes that had like just I've said it on the podcast, I don't know how many times, but the story needs to come from the actions of the characters in character. And when the characters don't act in character and they're acting to service the story that's supposed to go in a certain way, and they're not behaving in a way that the characters are supposed to work or supposed to act, you have a problem. And we see this on this show a lot. And I just want to see character-driven stories. That's what I want to see. So, Mark, you have anything additional to add?
No, I agree with you on that. It seems like they're trying to put so much with every character within the story, but just throwing in just a few lines and conversations just to propel it in some way, but not concentrating in each and their own, you know, just to make them, this is where they're going. We didn't really see a Tara's turmoil. All we saw was Daryl's observation of Tara and his opinions, and that was it. And just to provoke and to move on the story just slightly within what it was like maybe 2 minutes of a conversation.
Yeah.
And then reflecting back onto that on this episode when she comes back, and it was just passed off.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's kind of weird.
One of the, I don't know if it was that Forbes article, but one of the articles that I saw was saying that the quality of the show needs, the quality of the writing needs to be held to the same standard as the quality of the zombies. And the writer of that article said that the zombies are always good. They've been good, you know, since the start. Yet the stories, the writing, and, you know, some of the other, you know, production things like, semi-transparent deers, things like that. So it's not just writing, but, you know, these are things that it seems like the show kind of shortcuts. And it's almost like, I'm out of work, but I do know something about developing software, and it almost seems like the scripts and the stories and all that stuff needs a QA department to test things, to you know, run them through the battery of tests for continuity, for just good storytelling. And, you know, what they probably need is, you know, a guy with a photographic memory of the show, and, maybe someone that knows a little bit about writing stuff, maybe somebody that sold the Star Trek story once upon a time. Who could that be? Some guy named Brian Malosh.
I agree.
Anyway, you know where to find me, guys, and I'm cheap. Anyway. So, but in all seriousness, a little bit of looking at it with an analytical eye, an attention to detail would make the show that much better. And I say all these things because I want the show to be as good as it should be. But anyway, let's move on to this episode, okay? Season 8, episode 14, Still Gotta Mean Something, was written by second time. I think he wrote episode 11, I want to say, and I'm just going by my memory here. Eddie Guzelian. I don't know if he's on staff or what, but this is his second script, solo script. So there's no teams that are writing with him. He gets solo credit. Directed by Michael E. Satrazimus, who I guess his best known episode would be The Grove. All right. What did you think of this episode out of 10?
I give it 8.5 out of 10 images of Henry in Morgan's mind.
All right. Well, again, I love this episode. And unlike last week, you know, I had a lot, even though I loved it, I had a lot of criticisms of it. I don't have nearly as many this time, but I'm going to give it a similar 9.6. That seems to be my go-to number. 9.6, Rick's Murdering Jackets. How many times has he murdered somebody or, you know, killed somebody with that jacket? I think that's the same jacket that he bit Joe the Claimer.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And I know that he has had that jacket on many a time when he has killed people. He may have had that on when he killed Gareth. I'm not positive of that. But anyway, when he has that jacket on, he's going to kill somebody.
So he's got to wash out that blood on that collar too, because it's all nice and, you know.
I noticed that too.
White.
Contact, get a contact infection there. All right, we've got listener ratings. So, Mark, lead it off.
PB and Zane, 8.5 out of 10. Morgan melts down. Oh, and that teardrop. Oh, it hurt my heart.
Steve Brown, who I'm going to thank Steve, who he came in. Of course, Steve is co-host of Mark's other podcast, the Panels to Pixels podcast. Steve was gracious enough. In an emergency, he was able to fill in on the Star Trek Discovery roundtable that we recorded Friday night, which hasn't been released yet. So, Steve, thank you so much. And we should have that episode out later this week. Anyway, he gave it 8.5 confusing character moments. I like that.
Glennis Gultz gives it 7.5 out of 10 melees.
Malika Tazee gave it 9.2345 Walker kisses for Jared. He went to Jared. He certainly did.
Oh, yeah. What, did he come back with a diamond?
Oh, yeah. It's Jared. Anyway.
Anyhow, Cheryl Fox, I give this 7 out of 10 flares for mysterious helicopters.
And for those of you that don't live in the U.S., Jared is a jewelry store that has really cheesy commercials. Kyle McAdams, the co-host on Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through, he said, I did like this episode much more than the others, rating it 8.4 country bumpkin looking outfit wearing Jadis with a baseball hat.
Dieta Patterson, I rate this episode 9 out of 10 packed suitcases. My helicopter is here to rescue me from the apocalypse. With what the hell?
Don't you mean
what the shit?
Boy, we heard that a lot this episode, didn't we?
Oh, yeah.
All right, it's time for Awesome Sauce. All right.
All right. PB and Zane, even though I wish Jadis was gone, her control over Lucille when she swung at Negan was pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's like baseball player at bat, checking his swing before he swings. So similar. But yeah, I noticed that too. Steve Brown said, Jadis home. The contrast between the clean Spartan interior with the dump exterior. And to that I say, it was funny because, it had a look like, one of those, tiny houses from, DYI Network?
I thought IKEA.
Well, yeah. Yeah, it definitely had an IKEA look as well. Yeah, I've seen those, like those tiny house shows, and which is a similar kind of thing. It's like, look at all the space you get with, just 200 square feet.
Anyway, I think in that case, it was only 25.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyhow, Lennis Galtz, Rick and Morgan clearing together. Carol finding Henry where Sophia should have stayed.
Malika, she has five of them. Wow. Everything that made Negan say,
what the shit?
Jadis pulling around Negan. Is her second one, the third one? Rick and Morgan killing the saviors even though they freed both of them. Rick and Morgan walk into a bar. Wait, nope, don't think they walked. Jared's Walker kiss due to Morgan being as cold as ice, not letting Jared go. I'll never let go, Jack, Jared. Anyway. Lastly, she says, all of the exposition, stuff and things getting explained. Negan's bat, the banging on the hilltop walls to distract the walkers from the entrance, the helicopter, etc. Well, we didn't really get the helicopter explained. We just got to see the helicopter. And why couldn't they see her, by the way? It's not like they were that far away.
Yeah, especially since Negan had, well, Negan had the flare, and then I think she took the flare from him.
Yeah.
And you would think they would, as somebody starting, hopefully there were two men in that copter or two people, and they could look down as the one that's flying. But who knows?
What I think happened is that, they struggled. The flare fell into the puddle. She went and got another flare and then lit that. And then by the time she had it lit, they had left or were leaving. But the stupid thing about it is you see her just like go walk off camera. And I'm like thinking, okay, if you're going to get another flare, it's like wave your arms or something,
Yeah. It seemed like a Gilligan's Island episode.
That's a good analogy, I would say. All right. Next.
Cheryl Fox, I thought the callback to saving Henry in a place that looked like where Sophia had last been seen was cool. Also, I am so happy that Jared finally met his demise. I did not like the character. I also loved how well Jadis thought on her feet and played dead. That gobstopper, ew, that would make me flinch. I like seeing what happened with her after Simon and the Savers killed the Heapsters. Though I didn't think she was as quick on dealing with Negan. I think she got flustered and that was her downfall.
Well, a couple things I'll say about that. That place that looked just like Sophia had last been seen, not only did it look just like it, and obviously in the story it's not because they're in Virginia now and they were in Georgia before, but it was the same tree.
Yeah.
They said that on Talking Dead. And as soon as I saw that, I recognized right away. I knew it's like, oh, that's the tree. So it was kind of funny, but, there was a lot of tribute to past episodes in this episode. Definitely.
Same here. I noticed that right away, but I can only watch The Talking Dead because I was on some other thing and inputting information.
Yeah. Kyle, he says, the exchange between Negan and Jadis, this is probably the only time that I really started being interested with any of them. Negan showing some remorse, Jadis showing that she has more to her character than just two words. The pictures. I want to know what the pictures were of. I do too, actually.
Yeah, same here.
We got one more?
Yep. Deanna Patterson. Rick and Morgan slicing and dicing walkers and saviors. Yeah, he said he would take him back to the hilltop, but oh well, he didn't. No biggie. He was thinking about the shortage of food supplies they're already experiencing at the hilltop, especially since Jadis... Jesus came back empty-handed. They only have them 2 crates of food from Thelma and the gang, and they should have never ran in the first place.
Well, you know, Jesus never comes in empty-handed. Except that he did. All right. I'm going to go first with my awesome sauce since you just had a long one there. We had already talked about Jadis, and I hinted at it last week. How is it possible? Yet again, this is the second time that I can think of a character on this show that I formerly despised that I actually like. And in the case of Jadis, when she had that moment with her pictures, I actually shed a tear.
What?
That's kind of how I felt about it. So I have to give it to the writers for giving me a turnaround with her. And I will also say, Pollyanna McIntosh cleans up very well. So she was on Talking Dead, and she looks a lot different on there.
Yeah, she does.
She's actually quite a beautiful woman. So
I think she was a model.
Yeah, well, I can see it, which is funny because, like, I don't know what they're doing to make her look the way that she looked when she had that the heapsters kind of dark uniforms or whatever. But I mean, she didn't look so attractive with that, but I don't know. Even when she's dressing, you know, when she's in the kind of, you know, plaid now, she looks better than she did with, you know, in her old garb. So, all right. What do you have?
The exchange between Negan and Jadis. I'm sorry. It's like her breaking him down, but that whole scene with her with the bat and with the pictures and the interaction itself, it really grabbed me. Now, didn't put me to tears in any way, but I'm like, this is really cool. But it broke Negan down to more of a real person than him. And then her saying that, you know, people are important as well. You know, they're the reason why. Apparently they're on that same level, saying that people are important in this world. And, you know, it just really got me.
Yeah. Yeah. I have more to say later about Negan, versus Rick in this episode. I have some thoughts about that, but I'll elaborate later. the last thing I guess I'll highlight for my awesome sauce is the Rishon moments in this. You know, there was they kind of bookended the episode. I really liked, you know, the first time there when Michonne tried to get Rick to read the letter from Carl, and then you know, later when after Rick came back, those two moments I think were really I liked those two together. That's all I'll say.
Okay.
All right, weak sauce.
You're worthless and weak.
Mark, what you got?
Steve Brown says, Negan having enough time to free his hands, get the bag, rummage through the bag, get the gun, flare, and pictures, and set up for Jadis' return with Mr. 90 Degrees.
Yeah, Mr. 90 Degrees. And I was trying to figure out, you couldn't really see him very, very good, but like, how was his head attached? Because it almost looked like, you know, he had a bar through his head, which obviously would have killed him, yet it didn't. So I don't know if it was like to the side or it didn't penetrate his head somehow, or he was just, you know, caught by the skin, or I don't know.
Hmm. Maybe it was through the jaw.
I don't think it was through the jaw. No, I don't think so. I mean, maybe it was under the brain or something. I don't know. But I kept on looking at that going, how's that exactly? You know, maybe the thing didn't go all the way through his head. You know, maybe it was through his ears or something. I don't know. It's hard to tell. But I had this down for my weak sauce too. And what I wrote down was, you know, he rolled himself over there to where she had the bag and, you know, all that stuff, grabbed those things, then rolled himself back. And according to the, you know, screen time, it was like only a few seconds had passed. But for him to do all of that, minutes must have passed. So I don't know if the problem was editing here or, you know, they cut a scene. You know, maybe, you know, something didn't turn out and you know, when they got it to the editing room, maybe something, you know, wasn't fixable or so. I don't know, but that was the funny thing, that when Negan, they didn't see him get that stuff. They just saw him like roll over, but we didn't see him roll all the way over. But it was like literally seconds passed. And the first time I watched, I was like, what just happened there? And when I went back and watched it again, I kind of picked up on it. But like I say, it was like minutes had occurred in the span of seconds on screen. Because it was all the same scene. Like, they didn't go to another scene or something. It was still the same Jadis and Negan scene. So it was really strange.
Yeah. Definitely.
PB and Zane says Jadis is still around. I can sympathize with that. I'm very torn about my recent change of heart when it comes to her, and it's not all the way. I'm not saying that I. Well, if I said that I love her character, I didn't mean it. I just mean that I've turned around on her. I'm enjoying her character more than I did.
Well, I personally think it's a nice monkey wrench between Rick and Negan at this point. Yeah, because she's done something to Rick and changed, and then she's doing the same thing with Negan.
Yeah, and there was kind of a vibe between those two.
Oh yeah.
Is definitely noticeable. All right, next one.
Glynis Gultz. All of a sudden, Negan has a gun and a lit flare. A flare is required in daylight to attract the attention of a chopper? Really? Come on. I don't think Rick would have killed any saviors. And one actually saved him from Walker. Writers, showrunner, erring there, I think, characters-wise. I guess his word didn't mean anything this time around.
You know, Glynnis, you bring up a good point here. How come the chopper, how come they didn't hear the gun get fired off multiple times? You'd think that that would be enough to sense, you know, for the helicopter to stop, right? I mean,
yeah, it's weird. You would think that the gunfire would attract some sort of attention, but who knows if they couldn't hear it over the propeller itself? Who knows? Because how far up were they?
Yeah.
And when it was shot off, you never know. Then again, they could always take it as, oh, these are just people just rabble housing, you know, just shooting up in the air.
Well, what we don't know is, like, maybe they had some kind of like special code or something that they, you know, maybe Jadis was supposed to do something to signal them to come down. And maybe that's what it was. Like, we know Rick saw that helicopter before, and, you know, we don't know who they are. Wish we did. So assuming that that's the same helicopter, whoever owns it has been there before.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I really want to know what the deal is. And that was one thing I didn't appreciate. Jadis not saying when Negan essentially asked her, but didn't ask her. Said something like, you know, what was the deal with that? Or he might have said,
what the shit?
With that, I think that saying was, you know what it is this week.
It's it. That's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
All right.
Malika's next. She says, she has three. She says, first of all, Carl 2.0 somehow surviving. Yeah, good old Henry. Number two, she says, much like we were just saying, how did that helicopter not see her? And then three, Jadis letting Negan go. Yeah, I mean, it was kind of, it was kind of funny how no one can kill the guy, it seems.
Yeah.
You know. He called a 90-degree guy, but I was thinking of him like a rotisserie walker.
Yeah, without the fire.
Without the fire, without the, you know, rotating thing. But it was almost like, I guess the idea was that whatever contraption that she had the guy on could be like slapped down. So it would almost go down like a mouse trap or something. Mm. and come down and start chowing down on Negan. I don't know, but it's very goofy.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. All right. Next.
Cheryl Fox. They made us believe that Henry was dead because he kept seeing him. And again, Daryl and Tara discussing Dwight again. Hopefully this will be the end of this discussion. Well, basically what she was saying was they made us believe that Henry was dead because he kept seeing him, meaning Morgan.
Right.
And, yeah, he kept seeing him as visuals. And there was that one instance when he's seeing that that illusion of Henry in front of Carol. And Carol is just, what? Who are you talking to? You know, and that Daryl scene with Tara, it's like we're discussing this again. You know, honestly, you know, him saying that's like, oh, you got lucky, you know, and that was it. And it kind of just brushed it off. It's like, you're a tough son of a bitch, he calls her.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, Tara, with her, you know, I want to kill him. I don't want to kill him. Now she doesn't want to kill him. And, you know, finally she said, I'm out. And, you know, so you said it last week that you think there's going to be like a showdown between those two. And, I think all signs point to that.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be a fight for that vest. Anyway.
Yeah, eventually.
Next is Kyle. He says, how Jadis to get the flare and her pictures just laid across Negan like that? It looks so stupid. Like you could have come at that in so many different ways and got the flare and pictures. It just looks silly. And he was out of bullets because he used them on that crazy slider walker contraption thing. Yeah, that was kind of dumb. I would agree. Jadis could have just gone around Negan to get at the flare, yet she draped herself across him to get it. It was kind of dumb. I agree with you.
Yeah. Dieta Patterson, Jadis and Negan, nobody will kill this man. This whole scene was weird and stupid to me. Jadis packs a suitcase, looks at her watch, leaves a clean, well-built storage container, which I alluded to looked like IKEA, goes outside, pulls Negan across the trash, pushes Walker Stretch across a shopping cart, looks at watch again, Negan gets suitcase open, somehow gets a flare gun out, conversation about why Bat is so sentimental to him, lame sauce, who freaking cares? He bashed the heads of two of our group with no remorse. Jadis looks at watch, misses helicopter flight. Negan is free and alive still. Negan is a cold-hearted killer, killing just for the fun and fear of it. Rick kills because he has to survive, and it's all been people who have tried to kill, threaten his group, survival first. Yeah, it's an ongoing drama, so this, and we don't know what's going on in Jadis's mind because she only speaks in certain words at times and up until recently. So we haven't had that typical standard dialogue even within the past few scenes. If you recall, it's like, what, she hits him with the gun and says, shut up.
And then
she has a few sentences out when she's literally, pulling him out in a cart, all stretched out here and there. But we don't really have a full conversation with this woman. We don't know what's going in her mind or what she's been doing.
Well, I will say to that, it was something that Negan said, that she really doesn't want to do it because, she goes to that elaborate contraption. And I think actually we mentioned that, it wasn't on this podcast, but it was on that Star Trek Discovery roundtable that we recorded on Friday night. I referred to Scotty from Austin Powers. the son of Dr. Evil, who, would say, just shoot him, And it's very true. It's like these Bond villains, they go through these, wild contraptions, or with Dr. Evil, like sharks with laser beams instead of, just shooting him. She had a gun. If she wanted to kill him, she could have just shot him, right?
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah. Anyway, Dieta, I know you hate Negan. You're never going to like him. So I do want to see how things go at the end of the season. There is the possibility that he'll survive. I don't know if he will or not, but it's a possibility. All right. Our weak sauce. I guess I'll go first since you had that long one. The thing that I said had a couple of, I tried to pick a couple that hadn't been mentioned. And the first one I'm going to bring up is the Rick and Morgan discussion after they had, basically killed the savior prisoners. When Rick asked Morgan why he saved him back in, King County, and I understand why they had that, because this might be one of the last times that Rick and Morgan have a conversation. And yeah, they probably, you know, want to have that question answered, but it felt very forced. It was kind of shoehorned in. It didn't feel like that was a question that was appropriate to what had just happened to me. It just I appreciated the moment, but it just felt kind of artificial.
My thought on that?
Yeah.
My thought is the show is constantly trying to capture in new audiences. Even though the show has been on for, 8 seasons so far, there are those that still jump in the game kind of late. And I have a friend that started watching literally about 3 months ago, and she binged watched everything. So for those that jump in that don't even watch the previous seasons, they don't know these things. So it gives them an opportunity to go back and watch and say, hey, oh, these two were together. Yeah. So I think it's in the writing and those who are show running to say, okay, we're going to segue back to a conversation. So for those who just jumped in this season to watch live, gives them a reason to rewatch or watch those previous seasons.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of like a writer's ploy of trying to get you to watch something that happened before. But yeah, that's just my thought. You know, I'm thinking that was Gimple's way of, because I'm pretty sure he's there in the writing room and saying, hey, oh, we need to implement this.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's just my thought.
Yeah. And, you know, typically a showrunner will do a rewrite of a script before it goes out. Like, so at least on many shows, they will do a version, like, you know, a final version. I don't think that's true for all shows, but I know that's true for a lot of shows. And, you know, Gimple wrote Clear, and there were certain things that we heard when Rick comes upon Morgan, you know, before they find the saviors. He said, you know me. And that was something that was picked clear from Clear. No pun intended. Yes. There.
Yeah, that's yeah, that line was definitely pulled from Clear itself. That's
right.
Clear episode. Yeah.
And there was a bunch of that, like the thing where the still gotta mean something. That was something that Rick said earlier in the season. And some of what he said, there were things that he said to the governor in, you know, that the final battle at the prison. Mm-hmm. There were things that were said, I think, during Nebraska from the second season. I can't tell you exactly what they were, but there was something in there that was very reminiscent of that kind of stand down they had at that bar, which is, I guess, similar because they were in a dive bar this time. Although I didn't really see anything that made it look like a bar. Did you? Like they said,
yes,
it was.
Yes, I did.
Oh, you did? Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I saw that perfectly, and it just reminded me of the episode where Herschel goes to the bar, he leaves the farm, and he is sitting there, and then Rick and Glenn go there to bring him back, and they find Herschel drunk, and then they have to deal with two characters that show up that they had to kill.
Yeah.
And it was Michael Weathersteed playing one of the characters, and another one, a bigger man, and they wound up executing them and having to deal with that kid and then bring him back. It kind of reminded me, it had a lot of reflection, and it looked similar, but it wasn't the same bar. Uh-huh. by any fault. But yeah, it just kind of threw me back and making me think of that. Maybe it's because I got to talk to Michael Weathersteed, and he was really nice.
That's I thought his name was something else.
Oh, no,
Michael,
no, no.
Raymond about, James, yeah, or something?
Yeah, well, Weathersteed is his other name, too. So
his other name? What, another character he played?
No. People go by their acting names, but they use
Okay, I got you.
Yeah. So, but it's known, and you see it on Wikipedia and IMDb.
Ah, okay. I didn't know that was his real name. Okay, so Michael Raymond James is his stage name, I guess. So
correct.
Okay. Do you know the guy or something?
I met him, and he's a really nice man.
Yeah. Anyway, you had another weak sauce.
I have two weak sauces, but I'll start with mine. The first one will be Henry still alive. I just could not buy it with everything that is going on. Hopefully that the kid's days will be numbered. Honestly, it's like I'm looking at him and I'm seeing him as zombie bait. Honestly, everything that's going on, he just keeps running out, just kind of like Carl.
Yeah.
Can't stay in a house, can't stay in a room. Even Carol stated it at that point, the last episode, you know, the previous one, where it's like, if you go out there, you're going to die.
Yeah.
And then I can't see him surviving the time jump that they're most likely going to do after this season. So you know that, you know, with Fear coming up and Morgan's segue, which everything is leading towards, right, that, you know, they're not going to have this kid around. And it might be something that propels Morgan to leave, because with all the visions of Henry being dead and then him finally seeing him, and then I think come within the next two episodes, out of the blue, the kid's going to wind up getting dead in some way. He's going to wind up, dying in some sort of fashion, either crossfire or maybe Morgan doing it. Who knows? But something's going to happen, and maybe that's what propels Morgan to leave and go, and then when we see him at Fear.
Is this like a mini Glenn death, you know, where Glenn survives under the dumpster and then, you know, only to get killed by Negan, you know, several episodes later?
Yeah, straying the character so that way, we see him now alive and then later on getting, you know, taken out. Possibly.
Maybe, yeah.
Because you already know the reason why Morgan is in such turmoil in some ways. Because the person that was taking care of him, his brother.
Yeah.
He died. And then Morgan felt guilty about that and the way he died. And then decided he was going to take on taking care of Henry in some way.
Well, and then, you know, he was supposed to.
And maybe he does. Because who knows if he finds and stumbles upon little Henry as a Z.
Yeah, in a way, if the kid dies, I won't shed a tear. I'm still perplexed over my single tear. It's not like I was crying. It just my eyes got a little moist. Okay. All right. Why don't you give your second weak sauce, and then
I'll make it quick. Michonne's pleas to Rick in the beginning. It really bothered me. It's constantly, and it still is, redundant. Ever since Carl had passed, she's constantly playing with him to do the right thing. You would think this would be brought up by another character, maybe Maggie or maybe Daryl, or, you know, obviously we can't get Aaron because he's stuck in Oceanside, you know, things like that. You know, you would think it would be another character just to throw a little focus into that, who know him in some way, but no, it has to be Michonne. But to me, it's constantly redundant. I was getting bored of it.
I half agree with you. I mean, I like those scenes, and it is probably Michonne's place to plea with Rick to, you know, read the letter. But I also agree with you that it's, you know, I've seen this, I don't know how many times and how many different ways. If you hear something from one person, you can discount it. But if you hear it from someone else, then you kind of go, oh, well, maybe there's something to this. So hearing that from Daryl or Maggie or Tara or
whoever,
a character like, or even Carol, it would make sense that, you know, some other character would say this to him.
Mm-hmm.
And to that end, I guess I'll bring this up now. I noticed when he went back into that drawer and that note was there, I noticed underneath it was the letter to Negan, but there were other letters there too. So who else got a letter that hasn't read it yet? Any thoughts about that?
I would say probably Aaron.
Eugene?
Probably.
Gabriel?
Definitely Gabriel. Yeah. I would definitely think of Gabriel. You know, there were so many letters. That kid had a lot of time to write, apparently. But, you know, yeah, you would think Gabriel, Eugene, Tara, maybe Aaron, Daryl. Had Daryl gotten his letter yet?
I would think so.
And Carol?
Carol? I would think everyone that's at the Hilltop at this point would have gotten their letters by now.
Maybe Rick's holding back. He's afraid. You never know.
I don't know. But those were the main ones. Eugene, Gabriel, Aaron were three that I thought of that he probably did write letters to that have been around to get them. So,
yeah.
I don't know. If there are other letters, I don't know who they would be. But one other weak sauce that I had, and that was just kind of something I noticed. We talked a little bit about that scene that they played part of the cold open, made that video available. And we had even mentioned it last podcast, and specifically Jadis, you know, hiding in the Heapster land. And the thing that I didn't understand then, and watching it a couple more times, I still don't get, is she's got on pants and she's got on this big coat, but it's not that long. And yet she takes off the pants and she takes off the coat and she's got this big long slip underneath. And I especially looked at it when she took the coat off. That coat was not long enough to hide the slip. Like the slip was at least 8 inches longer than the coat was. So what's up with that? Seriously, if you go and watch that scene, you will see what I mean. Anyway.
That is true. Yeah, I did see it and I watched it again. And I had a laugh when I saw it because you pointed it out.
Yeah. All right. We got a couple of sad sauces.
PB and Zane, Morgan's pain. My heart just breaks for him.
Deanna, she says, Carol, when she finds Karate Kid Jr., it was what she needed. Morgan crying about it. All he has. Wait a second. Morgan crying about it. All he still has to. And oh, I get it. Okay. Morgan crying about it. All he still has to, and he knows what it is.
It's it.
He was supposed to.
And you'll continue to put that in comments.
After the podcast last week, I went through a few days, and Mark knows this, I couldn't stop saying, and you know what it is. You know what it is. Every single thing. And you can see these on the comments of the Facebook group. But just in everyday conversation, I kept saying it. I couldn't shut up. And I would I was like, shut up. Stop saying it. And then something would happen and I'd say it again. And it's like, no. People started telling me to stop saying it. By Friday. Anyway. All right. We've got a few what sauces.
What?
All right. Mark, you've got a couple here.
Yeah, what about that little room Jadis has? Yeah, it's all nice out of like an IKEA catalog. What? It's like nice and proper and clean and nice wood, everything.
Very hipster.
How did they get that in the junkyard? Especially inside or deep down? Are there caverns that we don't know? Oh my God. I really want to see this.
And how does it tie in to the helicopter? You know?
Exactly. Yeah.
It makes me think that the storage containers were laid down, and then as camouflage, the garbage was placed over top. But the thing I noticed about that that storage container, you know, other than the fact that it had, you know, nice wood, it also had a nice sky roof.
I was just going to say that because I have that scene playing right now. And I'm looking at it and I seeing her sit down on the bench and I'm looking at the skylight going, how in the blue blazes did they put that there?
Yeah. All right. So I mentioned it. So my what sauce is the helicopter. And I've got to ask you, Mark,
mm-hmm.
you're current on the comics. Do you have any idea what this helicopter is? I mean, could it be possibly Georgie's people or something like that? Or you think it's somebody else?
I'm a bit of a blank because they did not have anything like that in the comics.
No?
So, no. So, from my understanding, from what I can recall, they had nothing of this. So, this is very new and this is just inserted. So, I had a theory that Georgie had approached Jadis and her people at some point. And Jadis being who she is and her people being at arm's distance. But I'm sure Georgie threw out some sort of, here's some food or here's some, you know, give us artwork, you know. Think about it, because that's what they were concentrating on. You know, she's walking around with that smock with nothing else on, and she's making sculptures and making paintings. Maybe that's what they wanted from them. And then, you know, now they're, it's like, oh, all we want is records from the hilltop. Well, give us some records. So maybe everything is based upon entertainment by them. So maybe they approached Jadis and the Heapsters, and then they had this point, and they check in every once in a while. And they probably use that helipad, which we see in the background, and they come down, and they get what they want, and they give Jadis and her crew whatever they need. And maybe that was why Jadis thought, hey, I have a way out. Maybe I could go with them. So who knows?
Do you wonder if the episode from last season where, you know, we see this matte painting essentially with Rick, you know, on top of this big heap of garbage, and we see a bird flying by that a lot of people criticized, and we see, you know, solar panels and the helipad. Do you think that they wrote the helicopter in because of that matte painting, or do you think that that was always their long play?
I think that was a long play, and I think that was due to Gimple, and I think he put that in there purposely just to stray. You know, now mind you, Gimple has always been, he's a fan of the comic, and he always try to implement certain scenes and certain things from the comic into the show. But he also strays a little bit because you have other characters there that are not in the comic. You know, we have Tara. We have Daryl. The Oceanside people are in the comic, don't come out until later. And I'm sorry if I'm spoiling this for anybody who is currently reading or trying to catch up. But you see those Oceanside people, but they're not predominantly women. It's just another group. So I think they implemented certain aspects of the comic from Gimple's point of view, just to make the show something of its own and to stray away from those of us that read or have read the comic book to try to predict what's going on. So I think with Angela Kang coming in, things will have to kind of deviate in certain ways, especially with this Georgie character. We don't even have a clue as to who it is. Maybe it's just some sort of Easter egg there to point out for something later on. There's definitely another big bad, and you mentioned it before in a comment on Facebook.
I was going to talk about that.
And I can't see it going without that big bad. I know we just had All Out War, and All Out War is not exactly what everybody wanted to see. But I've been jazzed for the past two episodes about what's been going on with All Out War. We're finally getting some of the action. But with this new thing that's supposedly the new big bad, hopefully they'll jump into that maybe four episodes in, and then hopefully it's alleviated next season in some way. But maybe they'll jump over it. I'm hearing all this talk and whispering about how they would put that into fear. But I can't see it in fear, because fear is supposed to be predominantly where in Texas.
Yeah.
So I don't see it, unless they're going to merge the shows. Who knows? We really don't know. It's all speculation.
Yeah, my take on it now, where I'm going, I think that with Carl's death and, you know, possibly a different ending to the war, let's face it, ratings have gone down on this show quite a bit since they've been at war with the Saviors. And I'm wondering if they've decided to, because, you know, I know in the comic book, there's another war that that comes. And maybe they've decided that they're not going to do that next. You know, maybe they're either going to drop that war, or they're going to do something else first, you know?
Yeah, I have a funny feeling if they do skip over it, it's something that's going to happen later.
Yeah, and that's possible.
Or it could be another show that they're looking to put together.
Yeah,
because they've been talking, and there's this talk about how they're looking to span off, not just from Fear but and the regular Prime show, but they were looking to do another show on this. Maybe that's that. Maybe there's another group that goes off and then they have that. Who knows? And there was speculation too about how they were doing stuff in the winter, which really makes me happy, because I've been wanting to see what happens with these walkers during a winter.
Yeah.
And how do you approach that? But who knows?
I would love to see that myself. There's a I don't know if you've ever read the Mountain Man saga. There's a number of novels that are in this Mountain Man zombie universe, that it actually happens in Nova Scotia, and winter plays a big part of it in that zombie apocalypse, and that in those books. And you know, yeah, they deal with the winter, and that's something that we haven't seen at all on this show, because when it's shooting usually in 90 degree weather.
Yeah.
So winter time is not something that really plays into this show, even though in DC they certainly get winter, but we never see it, because in this universe, DC is very hot all the time.
Just very much like Georgia.
Yeah. Yeah. And even, you know, a few miles from DC, it's very rural. Anyway.
Well, you could always watch Z Nation. They have a winter episode here and there.
There you go. Well, anyway, the point being is, I think they may try to make it so that the stories that are on these two shows are different from the comic book, because I think for the most part that what they've been able to do on Fear, even though the ratings have been going down, the story is that much more compelling because nobody knows what's going to happen. And I think that if they did that on this show, which it seems like they're getting to, because the way I look at it is if they don't follow the comic book to a T, when they deviate from it, people that have read the comic book, a lot of them get mad. And Mark and I have talked about this off this podcast about some people that we know that get really mad when the show doesn't follow the comic book exactly. And yeah, I know we have some listeners that feel that way too. Anyway, that I think if they go far astray from the comic book, suddenly you have to treat the show's story on its own, and you can't go by the things that are in the comic book. So it makes things surprising, you know? So
yeah.
Anyway,
it's more of a guidebook.
Yeah.
No, the only other thing I had was Negan trying to reason with Jadis. What the what?
Oh, I missed that. I didn't see that you had not said that. Sorry about that.
It's okay.
All right. Well, now it's time for the rest of our feedback.
We can talk about it.
Done talking. Time to listen.
PB and Zane starts it off, and she says, currently experiencing a
what the shit
load of Catholic guilt. I switched over to The Walking Dead from a live production of Jesus Christ Superstar. And on Easter of all days, it better be worth it, LOL. And it was. I really like this episode. My ratings are climbing up there. What the heck? Now, that helicopter was very obvious. I love, love, love the quick scene with a hand and a foot just sitting there. It was just so random. I missed most of the Negan speech about Lucille. Then she says, bio break, LOL. If I get to rewatch, I'll comment on it. I'm sure it was interesting. Okay. That was a close one. I was scared for Rick and Morgan, even though we know they will get away. It was still a nail-biting moment. Cruel how they just pushed those saviors to the walkers. It was a really nice throwback to the beginning of the entire show, with Rick asking Morgan why he saved him. I'm getting so nervous about them killing off another loved character. I was thinking Carol was going to bite it, pun intended, when she was killing the walkers around the kids, whose names escape me. And wasn't this tired old woman she seems to be at the moment? Quick question. I think, by the way, I think she's talking about Lizzie and Mika from the Grove. Quick question. How far are we supposed to be in the apocalypse now? A year? Less? More? That is a subject for a lot of discussion, actually. I don't agree with what they've set on the Walking Dead wiki, by the way. I don't know if we've ever talked about it, Mark, but like there's a whole thing about Rick being in a coma for like 59 days. That's impossible. He would have died because you can't go without water for more than like a week. You would die. But anyway, that's besides the point. I don't know. This is the answer that I have for you. I ask because of the battery in Jadis's watch. I mean, like, who has had a watch battery last very long? And who re-dreads Michonne's locks? Shouldn't they be falling out by now? I want to move into Jadis's efficiency apartment. Although I was not real hip on the Rick-Michonne matchup, I have been worried since Carl died. I was thinking they were falling apart. I'm glad they aren't. Series prediction? A baby Natus or Jigen? They look pretty good together. And to that end, I mentioned the one thing I had written down, but the other thing, I had a calculator that had a battery that lasted over 30 years that actually just finally went out a couple of years ago. So I have no idea why it lasted so long. It wasn't even a solar calculator either. So, all right, next.
Steve Brown. Rick did not lie. He said if they released him and Morgan, they would live. They had to break their own bonds in order to fight. Also, for several episodes, I have been saying just kill them. I guess because Rick said that he lied meant that they always intended to kill them all. That may not be consistent with Carl's vision, but is consistent with Rick and Morgan's attitude.
Well, yeah, I don't know if I should bring this up now, but maybe I will. It was kind of funny because I had a strange reaction to this episode because I felt like Negan was more human in this episode than Rick was. And I didn't know what to make of that. Hmm. You know, like we saw Negan actually showing concern, regret. He was accountable, but at the same time, Rick, he didn't need to kill those guys. They had just saved him, particularly that one guy. And, you know, he takes his hatchet to his neck.
Mm.
So both of them, that's what they went there for. And no one will argue about Jared. Jared had that coming several times over. In fact,
oh, yeah,
that should have been an awesome sauce because although I know someone else gave that. But yeah, I particularly enjoyed that kill because that guy had to go.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. But yeah, I was a little taken aback. Negan seemed to be more human in this episode than Rick. And I am not of the school of that. I've heard people argue that if we were following Negan, we would look at Negan as the hero and Rick as the bad guy. I don't agree with that, but this time Rick seemed to be more the bad guy and Negan seemed to be much more reasonable. Although I think he was acting, he had his own motives.
Yeah. So definitely. Yeah. Yeah, especially when Negan actually was talking about his wife and how the bat was named after his wife, Lucille.
Yeah.
That, you know, they threw that little bit of information during that whole Jadis and Negan encounter.
That had never been said before. I had thought it had, but maybe it was just because I knew that from the comic book. I don't know.
Yeah, he never mentioned it to Father Gabriel. He only mentioned about how everything happened when it started, and that was about it.
Mm.
He didn't really mention that the bat was named after his wife.
Okay.
So a lot of people, you know, that's a little bit of a spoiler for those who haven't read Here's Negan, but I would recommend it for those who hate Negan, just to get a little glimpse of the inside of the character, not just from the comic book, but maybe into the show. So I would recommend it to read. It's a quick read. It's a small trade paperback. I got it on hardcover when it first came out, and I think it's really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, that was the thing that he did seem to show genuine regret. I mean, the one thing that I thought was kind of dumb is that he talked too much, that he should have just shut up because he said something like, you know, I'm going to help you get it back, or I can help get it back. Well, he can't help get those people back. You know, so for him to say that was Negan looking at people as not people, but as something for him to manipulate.
Yes.
A resource, as he calls them. Well, essentially that's all that means is the people are tools to him, tools to use. They are not people.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, you're correct in that.
Yeah.
All right.
So, anyway, moving on. Okay, Glynis is next. She says, was half expecting the Whisperers when the episode blurb said Morgan and Rick in the company of strangers. They're baiting us, it seems. And we've heard this. The Whisperers are a group in the comic book. So, we don't have to go into details, But we've kind of hinted around that they are involved in the comic book, and whether or not they're actually going to show up, it's questionable. But Strangers, I think, was disingenuous, though. That was what it said in the episode description, and I don't think that these are strangers. They were saviors that had left, and that's all they were, but they weren't strangers. She continues, she says, oh, well, maybe Aaron will encounter them instead, since Jesus is back from his supply run and hasn't mentioned anything out of the ordinary occurring. Yeah, you know, I've heard other podcasts talk about this, that Jesus has been rather underutilized this season. You know, his one big thing was that, you know, he was going to bring back prisoners. But other than that, and especially after that, he hasn't had all that much to do.
Yeah, he hasn't. Yeah, he's been very, very elusive.
Yes. All right, next.
Malika Tazi. Okay, I cry, uncle. These episodes have gotten so much better. Can't wait to see how things are going to work between Dwight and Simon versus Negan. Will they really defect or stage a coup? Getting more excited about seeing the Fear season premiere. Oh, and do you think the person Negan picked up is the one who got away during Dwight's ambush with our group on the road a few episodes back? Perhaps he is now really on to Dwight.
Yeah, and Fear is only 2 weeks away. So it is coming very fast, because that first episode is going to be combined with the finale of this show. So
yeah, get your tickets, people.
Yeah. If you're in the U.S., there are many different movie theaters that are going to be showing the two episodes back to back, which I don't know if I'll be going, because I have stuff going on with my job search, but hopefully I will, but I can't commit yet. It'll probably be day of, I'll finally say, yes, I can go, and I'll go. But anyway, Cheryl is next. She says, this episode was hard to hold on to. I wish Rick would pass out the letters and let us hear/read them. That is driving me crazy. I will say, me too. Janice's room is so minimalistic, and seeing her in a flannel and jeans was good. On The Talking Dead, Pollyanna told Chris Hardwick that Jeffrey Dean Morgan was long to pull around. LOL. How did he get the flare in one hand, the gun in the other, with being tied up? That seems part of the suspension department of disbelief to me. Everyone keeps saying Rick lied. Did he? During the rewatch, when the herd was coming in, Rick told them to cut him and Morgan loose and give them weapons to help. Jared said no and started to shoot them, but got hit. Yeah, one of the other guys hit him from the back. Mm-hmm. Someone did come over and cut them loose. And I hadn't noticed that. I was trying to figure that out. I thought maybe they got loose themselves, but on further watches, I confirm, yeah, somebody or multiple let both those guys, Rick and Morgan, loose.
Yeah.
Yeah. And much like Cheryl, I just said, Cheryl said the same thing. I did not see that the first time, but I think it was too late. Rick was already mad. Yeah. On subsequent watches, you could tell Rick was lying. He was always lying. He had no intention of bringing any of those guys back, which old Rick would have never done that. But this is pissed off Rick.
Yeah.
And of course, Morgan was going to clear. And because he's all supposed right. to.
All right. Kyle McAdams. This episode had a lot of callbacks from previous season and the history of our group. That was really a nice touch. Carol talking about losing Sophia, Morgan about losing Dwayne, for that he didn't have his son anymore. The savior that Rick ends up shooting saying something similar to what Carl said to Rick, I think it was, could have lived after this. Oh, and Rick is a liar. Liar, pants on fire. I'm not sure I like this about where he is.
Yeah, like I was saying earlier, I had a similar... I didn't like the seeing this in Rick. I understand where he came from, but... Like it's kind of funny, you know. You got Negan who doesn't want to kill people, and you've got Rick that he doesn't care. He's going to kill people. If you're against him, you're going down. And you know, even I could even see him. It was like he wants to kill that Alden guy too, but he won't because I guess he's. Showing that he can be trusted, I guess, but it was kind of funny. Alden said to Rick, don't kill any more than you have to, or something like that, that he could he basically used Alden's words when he talked to those guys. And, you know, he said something like, oh, you could bring them back. And he's like, yeah, I could, but what he probably said under his lips, but I won't. It's clear he wasn't gonna. So
yeah.
All right. Last is Deanna. She says, overall, good episode. Rick finally reads the letter from Carl. Does he though?
He picked it up, kind of like when you said when he opened the drawer and he looked at it, and it looked like he was reading it. He had it open. It looked like he started to read it.
Yeah.
Whether or not he actually read it fully, who knows.
It's worth saying that online you can actually they have published the letter that Carr wrote to him, which I assume means that we're actually going to see Rick read it this week, this coming episode. But there's a link to it on the Facebook group, which is at facebook.com/group/walkingdeadgsm. Anyway, moving on, she says, Tara survives turning because Dwight saved her. Who does Negan pick up? Oh, we didn't even talk about this. Who does Negan pick up on the side of the road? Gregory? Simon? That chick I thought Dwight killed?
Laura.
I thought Dwight killed her. No, it was our people because she had her gun on Dwight about to kill him. And then somebody shot her. Can't remember her. Simon is going down. Hope it's as good as Jared's death. Can't wait to see his demise. Yeah. I'm glad, Dieta, you mentioned this. We didn't even talk about this yet. So who do you think Negan picked up?
Well, yeah, everything points towards Laura, which is the one with the tattoo on her neck, the barcode.
Yeah, yeah. Neck tattoo girl. Haircut. Haircut. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I tend to agree that it's most likely her. I've heard some other people mentioned, and Deanna mentioned Gregory. It's a possibility, but I don't see Negan saying what he said to her, because what he said, and I quote this, and he says, if shit could shit, it wouldn't look as shitty as you. I think that's what he said. But anyway, so it could be, I don't see him saying that to Gregory. I thought maybe Heath, but he doesn't know Heath. So that's out. Sherry? But I would tend to think that if it was Sherry, he would have more to say. So that, to me, all signs point to Laura.
Yeah.
Neck tattoo girl. So that's who I think it is. All right. Well, I think that's it for our feedback. So, do you have anything else that you want to bring up that we haven't talked about?
No, but I did have a
few things.
Go ahead.
One thing from the cold open. I guess Simon had no intention of letting Jadis go. I guess he intended to kill all of the trash people. So, because originally I thought that, you know, he killed everybody else to make her suffer. But it's, I guess, based on that one, the savior that spit on her, I think his name is Gary, I guess the intention there was to kill her too, you know. So when he finds out that she's alive, he might not be too happy about it. I noticed that Daryl's showing his age more. He had some gray in his beard. So
that's been going on for at least a couple of seasons. He just started realizing it.
Oh, yeah. I guess maybe it was just the lighting, but I hadn't seen it. But I will take your word.
Yeah, the hair is dark, but the beard is gray.
Yeah. And yeah, the rest of the stuff looks like I've said.
Yeah, you've got
that. Yeah. Yeah, all right. So I think that's it. So let's move on to our news, ratings, and info section.
There's a couple weird stories on the news.
Well, actually, I didn't pull any news this week. I was busy today, so. But I do have ratings, and unfortunately, I wish I didn't have ratings, because, put it this way, if ratings were a contestant on The Price is Right, ratings would be getting... These ratings are not good, people, so brace yourselves. Walking Dead got a 2.63 in the 18 to 49 with 6.295 million viewers. And that's down from last week, which was at a 2.95 and 6.774 million viewers. So that is down almost a half million. And when I go back and I publish a chart, and yes, in case people were wondering, I make these charts. I have a spreadsheet that I went back and got all the ratings for all of the episodes, and those charts that I publish on the Facebook group. Yep, I make them. Me. Anyway, these ratings go back as the worst since season 1, episode 4, Vatos, which got the lowest of the series at a 2.4. Now, there are two other episodes from, I believe, episodes 2 and 3 also had lower ratings than this. So this is the fourth lowest rated episode of The Walking Dead in the series history. You have to go back to season 2, episode 6, Secrets, to get a lower total viewers number at 6.08 million. So anyway, these numbers are not good. And yes, it was Easter. That probably had something to do with it. I know Jesus Christ Superstar was also on. I know a lot of people watch that. You know, so hopefully ratings will go up next week. They can't get much lower. Talking Dead improved from last week, but last week it was on at 11 o'clock. So this week it got a 0.87 in the 18 to 49 with 2.371 million viewers. And that was that's at a slightly later hour, but it's still, you know, I think it came on around 10, 15-ish, maybe a little past that. Last week it got a 0.60 in the 18 to 49 with 1.597 million. So hopefully next week things will be up. I really hope so. To submit your feedback, again, I don't have any news. I'll try to get some news next week, but I didn't see any, other than, you know, people speculating and like opinion articles. I don't consider that news. To submit your theories and feedback, go to goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback, where you can submit text or audio, use the SpeakPipe widget, or call 304-837-2278. You can also submit via email, walkingdeadgsm@gmail.com, or most people, pretty much everybody this week, sent their feedback via the Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/walkingdeadgsm. And if you aren't a member, Negan says,
"Are you kidding me?"
I guess that's an appropriate one. The deadline for submitting feedback is 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central, the Tuesday after the episode has aired. So Tuesday, April 10th for episode 15. That's when you will have to get it in, by 6 p.m. Eastern. You can also reach us at Walking Dead GSM on Twitter. And we got some, I did see some tweets from Ken from Chicago, but I didn't get a chance to pull him into the feedback this week. So I don't think there was anything specific to this week, but I don't know. I don't always get the notifications right away. I don't know why. The best way you can support us is to subscribe to us in Apple Podcasts. And while you're there, give us a rating or review. That's at goldenspiralmedia.com/Apple. That will take you to all of the podcasts within the Golden Spiral Media Network. We don't have any new reviews this week. Other ways to support us, you can go to goldenspiralmedia.com/support. And as far as my GoFundMe, I want to thank Lynn for her donation this past week. So thank you very much, Lynn. And, you know, as I have, things are looking up on the job front, and, you know, I'm getting some little nibbles here and there. Some of them are out of state, so, we'll see how that goes. But if you want to help us out, it would really, you know, as I think I explained before, maybe I did, maybe I didn't. We currently are, we had just moved to be closer to work, and we're still paying on the old place. So we're like holding down two places right now with no job. So things are rather tough. So if you could help me out, I would really appreciate it. I'm using my old GoFundMe that I used to help pay for a hard drive, and I just updated it. So the URL for that is gofundme.com/TWDTTBrianHardDrive. If you want to hear us on other podcasts, Mark, tell us about your other podcast, please.
You could actually hear me and Steve Brown on Panels to Pixels podcast, and it could be found on the Next Level Network podcast network. Steve and I talk about, we're wrapping up our Punisher series, and we're going to move on to a couple of others, hopefully Infinity War, and then we'll move into probably Jessica Jones.
And I noticed that you just released an episode today, right?
Yeah, episode 5 showed up, and episode 6 will be within the next 2 days, and then hopefully episode 7 and another 3 or 4.
Yeah. And my former co-host Ruthie on this podcast is my co-host on the Star Trek Discovery podcast. And I mentioned it a couple of times this week. We did our season 1 roundtable. We recorded it on Friday of last week. And that was with Mark's co-host on Panels to Pixel, Steve. And my former co-host before Ruthie took over for him, Adam, he came back as well. So it was actually we had a great discussion. That's going to be a really great episode when we release it. It's just the four of us talking. We had gotten some feedback, but we're going to hold that, and Ruthie and I will we'll discuss that on the next episode that we do. But hopefully I will get that episode out the door later this week. So after this episode comes out. So anyway, but you'll be able to get that on the Golden Spiral Media Network, but you can also find it at StarTrekDiscoveryPodcast.com. Our next episode is Season 8, Episode 15, which is titled Worth, which is kind of funny because the finale episode is titled Wrath. We don't know who it is written or directed by, but I do have a description from AMC.com. With the threat of the Savior still looming, Aaron continues searching for allies. Daryl and Rosita take action and confront an old friend. We can guess who that old friend is, can't we? All right. Well, until next time, I'm Brian.
And I'm Mark.
And this is The Walking Dead Talk Through. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Are you a podcaster who loves creating great content but gets overwhelmed by the audio editing process? Are you a business professional or an entrepreneur that wants to start a podcast but aren't sure where to begin? You need Pro Podcast Solutions. Pro Podcast Solutions has a robust suite of services to equip podcasters and help podcasters create better content than ever before. Visit ProPodcastSolutions.com today and find out how you can get your first episode produced for free. That's ProPodcastSolutions.com.